Good morning. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 20. Okay, Deuteronomy 20. When you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God who brought you out from the land of Egypt is with you. Now it shall come about that when you are approaching the battle, the priests shall come near and speak to the people. And he shall say to them, Hear, O Israel, you are approaching the battle against your enemies today. Do not be faint-hearted, do not be afraid or panic or tremble before them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. The officers also shall speak to the people, saying, Who is the man that has built a new house and has not dedicated it? Let him depart and return to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man dedicate it. And who is the man who has planted a vineyard and has not begun to use its fruit? Let him depart and return to his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man begins to use it as its fruit. Who is the man that is engaged to a woman and has not married her? Let him depart and return to his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man marry her. Then the officers shall speak further to the people, and they shall say, Who is the man that is afraid and faint-hearted? Let him depart and return to his house, so that he might not make his brother's heart melt like his heart. And it shall come about that when the officers have finished speaking to the people, they shall appoint commanders of armies at the head of the people. When you approach a city to fight against it, you shall offer it terms of peace. And it shall come about, if it agrees to make peace with you and opens to you, then it shall be that all the people who are found in it shall become your forced labor and shall serve you. However, if it does not make peace with you, but makes war against you, then you shall besiege it. When the Lord your God gives it into your hand, you shall strike all the men in it with the edge of the sword. Only the women and the children and the animals and all that is in the city and all its spoil you shall take as booty for yourself, and you shall use the spoil of your enemies which the Lord your God has given you. Thus you shall do to all the cities that are very far from you, which are not of the cities of these nations nearby. Only in the cities of these peoples that the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance, you shall not leave alive anything that breathes. But you shall utterly destroy them, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, as the Lord your God has commanded you, in order that they may teach you to do according to all their detestable things which they have done for their gods, so that you would sin against the Lord your God. When you besiege a city a long time to make war against it in order to capture it, you shall not destroy its trees by swinging an axe against them, for you may eat from them, and you shall not cut them down. For is the tree of the field a man that it should be besieged by you? Only the trees which you know are not fruit trees you shall destroy and cut down, that you may construct siege works against the city that is making war with you until it falls. Okay, amen. Israel, we know, is what we call a theocratic society. In other words, God is in control of the society. What God does, God uses in this context, and in our current context, the Levites, the priests, and they are to administer his righteousness to people. And so this would be a part of everything that Israel is doing. And so it's not just how they live at home. It's not just what they do in the synagogue or, you know, in the temple before they get to the synagogue stage, but it also refers to everything that Israel does, even to war. And so now you have to see the order is a little different. So he says that when you come to a place and you are going to fight these enemies, and he says, look, they're going to be a lot more than you, and so don't worry about that, and keep in context that he's talking to a former slave nation one generation before, that were not trained in any type of warfare at all, that were not even allowed to have weapons. And so now they're in this stage, and he says that you're going to come and we're going to take over. You're going to fight, and guess what? You're going to be outnumbered all the time. So as your enemies, you're going to see horses, chariots, people more numerous than you, but don't be afraid. Because the same God that brought you out of Egypt is going to also bring victory to you. And so by which they consecrated what was really, I guess our modern term would be war priests. And there were certain priests that were assigned to the elements of war. And they would go out to the battlefield, and they would bless the people. And really, more than anything, it was give a charge. And I told you this is out of order, because what would happen is the commanders, if you go to verse 5, the officers shall speak to the people. This one first. So the officers would go out. So they're arrayed for battle. The officers would go out, and there's four instances by which you actually were allowed to leave the battlefield to attend to the matters of the home. And this was really important because Israel, the whole point of for them in conquest, they were not a warrior nation. They were never meant to be a warrior nation, where you have some other empires that all they did was go and pillage and ransack, because that's what they were about. Israel was a peaceful nation. They were a nation that God had given them land, and they were to live and cultivate in that land. And so you think about these four, well, really three legitimate, one just for pure military tactics, omitted from. But he says that, number one, if you had a house, let's read this one, the man that has built a new house is not dedicated. And so land and home became a huge part of this new life that Israel was going to lead. And so he says that if you have land, if you just got a house, and there was a very beautiful ceremony and blessing and consecration that took place, and this usually lasted about a year. And so if you have a new house, you're building a house, and it's not dedicated yet, which was a huge part of that, then you are allowed to be omitted from military service for a year. Now, you understand, every male 20 years and up, they had to be part of the military. And so they were omitted from this. And it's really what it is God's nod to them by saying, look, we're only in war not to take possession of it, but just simply because God says, I've given you this land, and you're going to have to fight for it, but you're not to go off into all these far lands, and you're not the Mongols and the Romans, and it's not about conquest and how big our empire could be, because the very essence of their creation is they're meant to be a blessing. And so he gives them the first one. And then the second one is, have you planted a vineyard? Are you now also, again, dealing with the land and dealing with the sustenance going forward? Now, a vineyard will typically take, when you get to the harvest, will take 3 years, and then 1 year, which is harvest. And so now you have a four-year reprieve from military duty. So you have a house, 1 year. In this context, the vineyard, 4 years. And so it was again, God's nod to them and saying, man, living this life and cultivating the ground, this is going to be your life forever. And so if you started that process, I want you to finish that process. The next part is anyone engaged? The word is betrothed. Not married, but are you engaged to be married? In this context, being betrothed is akin to being married. In other words, you have promised before each other, families are involved and all these things, and dowries are exchanged. And if you're betrothed, then you need to take time off. Now, this one, there's not really a lot of writing about how long it is, because different engagement periods are longer than others, and we know this in our modern times. But generally speaking, to the Israelites, work. Now, you're talking about an agricultural society. After they were married, they were meant to spend 1 year not doing any work and just home, and usually during that time, making babies. That was kind of the idea. And then after the year, they would go back into the fields. In an agricultural society, it would work that way. And so the family would provide for them by the excess that comes through the family. And so it's the whole idea of communal living. Now, if you think this is a great idea and you have, go for it. Number one, we're not really in an agricultural society anymore. But if you have means to do that, I think it's a great idea. I wish I could have done it. Just take a year off and just spend time with my new wife. That'd be fantastic. We never know. You might kill each other at the end of this. You never know what's going to happen. But it's a really wonderful idea. And so it's God's way of preserving the family. And so make sure that if you're in this stage, you are omitted. Now, you're talking about these guys are there in the battle. They're ready to fight. And he says, you are omitted from this. And now some of you, now the last one, if you're a coward, I mean, this is quite, if you're a coward and you're faint-hearted, then you are allowed to leave as well. And this one is pure military in the sense that you're going to be a discouragement because, you know, cowards don't just quietly die. You know what I mean? They die really loud. And they die not listening to their commanders, and they die bringing the morale down from all the other troops. So he says, pure military, you are omitted, lest you make the other men around you also faint-hearted. And then, after this refrain, then they would assign commanders, and whoever was in charge, the officer would say, okay, you command these 20 people, you command, and they would put themselves in battle array, and then the priest would come. And so you see why it would be quite necessary for the priest to come. Imagine you're a soldier, you neither built a house, you neither built a vineyard, you neither are betrothed, and you're neither a coward. But, you know, in listening to all this thing, and you see all these men leaving the battlefield, and you're already small in number already compared to who you're going to fight, you can imagine, oh, you know, oh, crap, you know, why we're even getting smaller. And then the priest, the warring priest, would come and say, listen, Israel, God brought us out of Egypt. God's going to bring us into this land. And it was a real charge. Think of William Wallace, in Braveheart, or think of Maximus in Gladiator. The same is this kind of charge that they would give, but this was not just a layman's charge. It was the priest consecrating the people, and they were meant to go off in this way. It's quite a powerful act. But all to show that God is Lord of all. He's the Lord of every part of the life of Israel, and He consecrates and He dedicates and He empowers and He anoints even in war. And so then He gives them these rules of conquest. Think about how this works in your mind. You've not quite had, you've had a few little battles, but you've not quite got to that place of all-out war. And then you are a slave nation, one generation removed, not that mighty. And then God says, well, here, this is what's going to happen when you win these battles. It's pretty amazing. I forget what movie I was watching, but it was one of those. I really love sports movies, and it was one of those things where the guy was on the free throw line, and you know, like no time left or a few seconds left, and the coach comes up to the guy on the free throw line, and you know he's kind of a shaky shooter, don't know if he's gonna make it or not, and he calls a timeout, and he draws the next play. With the assumption that he's going to make these two free throws. And so I remember the movie, I don't remember the title, and he says, okay, so when Bobby makes these free throws, this is what I want you to do. And then they pan to Bobby's face, and he's like, whoa, I'm gonna make these free throws. And of course, he makes the free throws. And so in that same way, it's like, you know, I believe in you. You guys are going to do it. That's what God's doing to the Israelites. And he's saying, this is what's going to happen. This is the rules that I want you to put aside when you overcome these nations. And that's like probably the furthest thing from their mind. They're thinking, oh my God, we're going to get killed, you know, by these people. And he says, no. When you besiege these nations and, you know, when you overpower them, males, kill all the males, females, livestock, they're your spoils. You get to, you know, take care of them and so on and so forth. And look at this redemption. Go to verse 17. He says, you should utterly destroy them, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, the Jebusite, as the Lord your God has commanded you, in order they may not teach you to do according to all their detestable things which they have done for their gods, so that that you would not sin against the Lord your God. Now, if you go back to Numbers chapter 13, do you remember the spies when they were sent out? Do you remember what started the whole thing, the 40-year wandering in the wilderness? Remember the spies were sent out, and then two of them came back with a good report, and 10 of them came back with a bad report? And remember what they said? Man, there's the Canaanites who are there, the Hivites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, you know, so on and so forth. And they're in this land, and like the Amalekites, man, there's no way. And look what God does. He totally redeems that whole situation. And he says that, look, these same people, the Amorites, the Hivites, the Canaanite, the Jebusite, these same people that your father's generation were afraid to, he says, when you come in, I want you to just utterly destroy them. Because they're going to be a very bad influence on the people of Israel. And you see God's, and in one way, God's kindness to them. And he just totally redeems a really, really bad chapter in the people of Israel. And he says, and this is what you're going to do. And then when you come in, and it's the whole idea of besieging the city, and they would have followed more of like the Egyptian military tactics. And when the Egyptians would go and like a fortress, they would actually make movable towers to go and just think of like Lord of the Rings. I don't know why I'm thinking about all these movies this morning. You know, they would bring these towers with them, and that's how they would besiege these cities with great walls. And that's where most of these cities were. And he says, and when you do that, and then you're going to need trees to do that. But notice, very interesting, he says, cut down trees, that's fine, but don't cut down any trees that are good for food. In other words, any trees that have fruit on them. Why? Because it's... God knows you're going to overpower these cities. These cities are going to be your cities. You're going to need food to live in these cities. And so planting a new tree is going to take, you know, how many years for it to blossom? You know, generally talking about the vine here, we're talking about 4 years. And so he's giving them a kind of sustenance. So look, you're going to win, but because you're going to win, make sure that you have food later on to live in these cities, and make sure that like you don't just totally destroy everything around you because this is going to be your home. I'm going to give you this place. It may seem like, okay, this is going to be a tough battle, but trust me, you're going to win this battle, and then you're going to need food to live, and so don't cut down these fruit trees. Cut down the other trees that are not used for fruit or for food, and then build the ramparts and everything you need to do. And it's just the wisdom of God. And it's. I mean, can you imagine as an Israelite, you're listening to this, man, you're pumped up. So you have a God that believes in us. You have a God that has already laid out his plans. And he says, you're going to live in this land. You're going to overcome these armies. I don't care how big they are. I don't care how many horses and chariots they have. God's going to do it just like he brought you out of the land of Egypt. And when you do it this way, because this is what's going to sustain the people in this regard. And this is quite a beautiful thing when you look through this. Okay, so let's close our eyes. What is God speaking to us? What is ours to possess, but we have not yet taken hold of it yet? But you heard the word of the Lord that it's yours. It's yours. And it may seem like the circumstances are too big, but listen to the Lord. You can do it. I'm with you. I love you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. It could be related to your work or your family. Maybe some of you guys are working in jobs right now, but you know that God has promised you something better. Listen to what God's saying to the Israelites. I mean, listen beyond the words. You know, there's a letter of the law. There's a spirit of the law. Listen to the Spirit. He's basically saying, Israel, I believe in you. Israel, you're going to come into your destiny. Israel, you're going to overcome nations that are larger than you, that are stronger than you. In that same way, listen to the Holy Spirit in your circumstance. You're going to do it. God says, I believe in you. You're going to overcome. That relationship looks bleak right now, but you're going to overcome. Because God says, I'm in it. I'm with you. Job situation. God says, it may seem like very powerless right now. You're in a powerless situation. God says, I'm going to overcome on your behalf. And so let's move in faith. Let's make sure that we are not faint-hearted, cowardly, and thus remove ourselves from the battle. And let the Holy Spirit speak to us today. Let's pray this morning. Some of us may be a bit confused about some of our circumstances, but look what God does in this passage. Everything He does, there's a long-term effect. Even releasing these soldiers, right? It's a long-term effect. And so we may not be seeing exactly what's going on right now, but know that God's got a long-term plan. Sometimes we are too short-term in our thinking and our analysis, but God's got a long-term plan in store. And in the long term, you're going to look back and say, I totally get what God was doing. I totally understand that. No wonder that's what happened. I know it doesn't help many of us now, but let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Let Him give you courage to be faithful. Courage to be an overcomer. Let's pray this morning. Let's pray for our community. Let's pray, really, especially for ones that are battling cancer and whatnot. Let's pray that they would have courage to be faithful, that they're definitely in this battle over their health. Let's pray that God would overcome in their lives and they would just totally trust Him. And let's just lift up our friends here. Let's pray for our community that's battling illness, but also is has not trusted Jesus to be their Lord and Savior. Let's pray that God would come through and that He would reveal Himself to them and there would be physical and spiritual healing in their lives. Let's lift up our community that's battling non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's go to our mission, or I'm sorry, let's pray for our friends that are looking for work, and let's pray for God's provision and just open doors for each one of them. Let's lift up. Let's lift up our mission prayer focus, and let's pray for Singapore. Let's pray for our church there, SPSG. Pray for Pastor Sam, Kim, and other leaders that are there. They're going to have to really figure out their meeting situation very, very soon. And so let's pray for open doors. Let's pray for God to really provide for the church a new meeting space that fits our budget and our size and everything. Let's also pray for Indonesia. Let's pray for SPIN. Let's pray for Pastor Selamat and really thank God. Their son Samuel got into HKU. And so really wonderful. Good job, Samuel. Let's continue to pray that their kids would continue to grow and the favor of God be with them. And just the team that just came back from Kupang, that the ministry would continue to blossom there. So let's lift up Singapore and Indonesia this morning. Let's pray over our missions committee. Let's pray that God will just continue to equip and give the missions team wisdom as they lead us in our mission endeavors. Let's just pray for God to really use this team. Let's pray for our local outreach. Let's lift up our community center and pray that that center would be continue to be used well. Pray for Agape, the homeless, SP Lights, Freedom Bridge, and the drug rehab ministry. Let's pray for all our volunteers and all our leaders and everyone that we come in contact with, that a real significant ministry would be taking place. Let's lift up our activities tonight. Let's pray for SPU and IP and ask Holy Spirit's hand to be upon our college kids and our prayer team, that they would be really downloading amazing things from the Lord. Let's pray for tonight. And lastly, let's lift up our Bloom trip. They're leaving tomorrow early morning, and they'll be there for a week. Pray for Pastor Ken and Pastor Ricky as they lead this team of nine, and pray that there would really be a blessing to Grace and just the women there at Bloom. Let's just cover our team. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you. God, this morning we thank you for the word. Just such incredible grace, God, that you've given the Israelites, Lord, to overcome. And we know that same grace is with us today. Regardless of what our situations look like, God, you're in it, Lord. And you're in it for the long haul, God. Help us also to get your vision, God, to walk in your perspective, Lord. God, we thank you. Lord, we love you today. Use us, Lord, to further the kingdom of God, Lord, and bring glory to Jesus, the Son. We thank you. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you over the weekend.